everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the overcomplicated head.
Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about complex mechanics. It's easy to get excited and think up dice rolls or rules for everything, and then, you know, where does it stop?
It's fun to, Basically, it's fun to gamify stuff, right? But then sometimes it's too much. Sometimes it doesn't need to be. And we've been thinking about this a lot with some other stuff. So, we're going to talk about the snowballing effect of gamifying everything and how that, you know, can become difficult. We're going to talk about consistency, maintaining consistency. We're going to talk about the issue of just like having good faith in each other when you're engaged in this, so it doesn't become a problem. And then considering using, non-mechanical, just like cosmetic or flavor solutions to some of this stuff instead. So this snowballing effect.
Snowballing. Right. The concept, I believe we said it several times on this show, but you do something once, you got to be prepared to do it every time after that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, I mean, that goes for just pretty much any mechanic, right? If you roll for damage this way, like say a D10, or maybe it depends on the weapon, right? Be prepared to do that every time.
Where right.
Like, oh, the weapon does the damage.
This weapon does D10. That's a good example. You know, that's something that should never change. Need to have consistency.
Yeah.
In that, but.
But that's not what we're really talking about today. What we're talking about is, like special mechanics that become too complicated, right? So like if one player wants something special, like, oh, well, like, you know, my character is a weird like mutant thing and I can shoot webs from my hands. How are you gonna do that, Game Master? And then the Game Master's like, Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Be like Spider-Man.
Be Spider-Man. You know, a character like, oh, I want to do a cool jump with my horse. Well, that might be fun. But you got to come up with, like, first of all, what are they going to roll in order to do that, right?
Right. What is horse jumping on?
What is that on? And you could do, you know, fairly simple. You could just, all right, give me an animal handling check, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're playing something familiar like D&D, but then what are the results? How do you measure the results in a way beyond what is just like narrative? Like how do you set the difficulty? Do you not set the difficulty and just based on how high or low the roll is, you narrate the results? Do they get anything out of that?
Or are they like, well, I've been with my horse for 10 years, so like
the difficulty class shouldn't be that bad, or
I should get a +2 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of what we're talking about, like the companion mechanics, right? Your characters are like, hey, I want to have a pet or a battle companion.
Right.
Right? So you're like, okay, this is how it's going to work. And then you lay out these rules, and that's really easy to overcomplicate, and then, like, you know, if somebody else has something shiny, like a war badger, somebody else is going to want, you know, something too. Like, you know, another player is going to be like, well, I want a hawk.
Right. And yeah, by allowing one, you're going to have to, well, yeah.
Because you've already allowed it once, right?
You've already allowed it. And yeah, we said that a while ago. I believe we put it on the board. Yes, I see it there. It's one of the things that we've circled on the board where if you, you know, if you do something, anything, your players are going to expect you to do it that same way every time. So you need to be prepared when you allow your players to do something, when you introduce a new whatever, it's got to be something that you're prepared to do multiple times and the same way each time.
And it's really easy because it's like really fun. Be like, oh yeah, that's such a cool idea, a war badger. Well, like, I'm going to give them, you know, this much attack and, like, you know, this much speed. And then the result of that is, like, your character sheets are covered in sticky notes. And, oh, roll for, you know, your badger's attack. And then you're like, okay, wait a second. Well, you know, they have a base stat of this, but then, like, I also, like, sharpen their claws.
And I have my stats here. How do those, how does their stuff stack onto my, what numbers do you take for what roles, shit right. like that, you know? You can.
So it becomes like a search exercise of like the character sheet, because you want to get all the bonuses in, right? You know, you want to make sure you're remembering everything.
Yeah. And you want to be consistent. And in order to maintain consistency, you need to, you know, be consistently going back through all that stuff. It's not necessarily fun. It's not necessarily something you want to be doing all the time. So.
Well, it's pretty time consuming. And also, it's really annoying when, like, it's been a couple sessions since, like, this thing came up. And then your player's like, wait a second. I have the helm of whatever, but I don't remember what it does. Yeah. And you're like, well,
I'm pretty sure I could use that in this situation. Well, like,
I don't remember either, buddy.
Yeah.
I know I wrote it down and gave it to you. Yeah, which leads us to the consistency problem. Remembering every little mechanic is just impossible. Like, that's why there's a fucking rule book.
Right.
Right? Memorizing the rule book is an insane thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I guess, so, in its like original form, I don't think, and it, continuing through to today, I don't think it's an inappropriate thing for a game master to be like, hang on, let me consult, let me go through the index or the contents of the Dungeon Master's Guide and find the answer for however this thing is meant to be properly adjudicated. But in practice, that's not a fun thing. Like, you don't want to be, you don't want to be pausing your adventure to look up nerd rules and
litigate something.
Yeah, in a big dumb nerd book. You want to give them a satisfying answer right away. Ask for the appropriate role. And then have, you know, something cool happen if they're successful, or something funny happen if it's bad.
Right. So, which is why it's so easy to get all messed up when you go outside the rules to create, like, a little novel mechanic. Right? Because it doesn't take 2 seconds to find in the rule book, because it's not in the rule book.
Yeah.
So, how are you going to deal with that every time? Well, you know, maybe we'll get to it later, but just like, this episode's kind of all about just like, you know, pulling back the inclination to really, you know, game up.
Looking at the complexity that's already there. And really, I guess, yeah, at the core of this is the question. Ask yourself, like, does this need to be anything, right?
Because also, like, there's a good chance you make up something for, like, whatever scenario you're in.
Yeah.
And then it's never going to come up again.
Right.
So, like, you could spend 5 minutes writing it out on a sticky note, and then that scenario never happens again. Or your players just don't remember they have, like, the item or the ability again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, why did I spend the time really thinking about it? I should have just said, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, you do that. You got to be a little careful with that, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you just, one, you get into the consistency thing again. If a player is like, you know, oh, I want to try this thing. Can I do a wheelie on the four-wheeler? They're like, yeah, sure, you do a wheelie. It looks cool. Everyone thinks that was cool. What if they want to keep doing it? What if someone else wants to try it? Now, you just, everyone can do a wheelie, mm-hmm. and it results in the same thing every time, or you do start to have, you do start having to, mm-hmm. like, litigate it with a roll. If the frequency increases, we're going to get to some measurements of frequency and,
yeah,
you know, when you should and should not, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a great bit about, so like, oh, I just do a wheelie in this instance. It's like, oh, I like rolled really good. Can I just like do a wheelie? And they're like, yeah, sure. You can do a wheelie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then a couple sessions later, you can't do a wheelie anymore, even though you like succeed in your driving rule roll.
Mm-hmm.
But like, oh, I'm not going to let you do a wheelie anymore. You know, consistency issue there. It's like, well, I did one before for the same, like, you know, I rolled a 13. I should be able to do a wheelie.
Right.
And then, you know, it also is the question is like, what is a wheelie doing? Is it just making you look cool, or is it like actually helping, like, you know, I attack right. by doing a wheelie and putting the motorbike tire in their face?
I think that's so we don't have anything about that. We're going a little off script there. Yeah. But what that's kind of made me think of and led me into is and maybe this should have been a bullet point. Before you make something up, you should always ask, like, what are you trying to accomplish with it? Okay, you're gonna pop a wheelie, mm-hmm. you know. But for why? And like, what is the result that you're imagining, mm-hmm. you know, comes from this? And they're like, oh, I wanna scare that guy. Or I wanna look cool so that you know, the barmaid thinks that I'm
mm-hmm.
all that. All right. Once you get if you ask for that, if you ask for the intent behind the action, sometimes you save yourself having to make up something.
Right.
Because yeah. they'll say like, oh, I'm trying to impress this barmaid. Okay.
So that's yeah, a performance. That's what you're check. Trying to do.
Right.
Oh, we have rules for that.
Yeah. We already have. Now give me a charisma based action of some sort. And if you can, you know, if you can burn past the silly thing that they're asking for, to the intended result, you get you can burn past the need to create anything more complex or novel for that unique situation, and just like, oh, it's a performance yeah. check, or it's an athletics check. All right, that's easy. Give me that role, and that saves you the issue of, you know, snowballing, creating multiple new things, and it saves you the consistency thing because you're going back to the consistent,
yeah.
persistent, basic rules.
So I think that's some good stuff that we should put on the board about getting to the intent mm-hmm. of this novel thing that's being done.
Right.
Because I believe that is what, like, I'm kind of, you know, outing myself here as a known rewatch binger of TV shows, like long running, like sitcoms,
mm-hmm.
like are very inconsistent sometimes. 'Cause like, you know, a whole episode will have a crux of like something. And then like maybe a season later, like they do something that like, wait, I know that like, being released weekly, you wouldn't catch this problem, but I watched that episode 6 hours ago
yeah.
today.
Because I watched a season and a half today.
So, like, wouldn't that character, like, totally mm-hmm. do a different thing? Because, right. like, there was a whole episode about how, like, I don't know, most recent example I can think of is in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
Sergeant Cherry Jeffords, big, muscly love bug, love mm-hmm. him. One of the Thanksgiving episodes, he's like, you know, constantly like, I need to eat. Yeah. And like, that's his whole thing creating, you know, oh, this is, you know, stupid. Yeah. Ah, I need
tension
to eat.
For him is coming
I need
from,
10,000 calories
why is it
a
dinner
day.
Ready? I need to eat it.
Right. And then in a couple episodes later, like he's on a diet where he gets a thin cantaloupe slice and like, oh, yeah, it's like
we need to stick together to do this diet. And it's like, dude, if you needed to eat 10,000 calories a day, you'd be dead on this diet. There's no way this was a good idea. And then, like, you know.
And it's played for comedy, but it is, it's.
So it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But the point is, if the, you know, the intention of the silly action or whatever can be sussed out, like, oh, I'm doing it to impress somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't need to make a mechanic for wheelies.
Yeah.
It's a performance role or a charisma checker. Yeah, you know, there's probably a rule in the, you know, base game that it falls under.
Another example of the TV consistency thing, and I do think it's a very apt way to, like, analogize pen and paper stuff, is Bender's character throughout Futurama. He is not a very consistent character, especially through the reboots that show went through, and probably lots of different writers writing different episodes, stuff like that. But, you know, there are sometimes things that he has very, like, you know, passionate, like, political stance for or against whatever, that sometimes for the purpose of an episode, he just completely, you know, flips about and, like, gets angry. And the way it mostly works is that he is an inconsistent character with no real values or beliefs. He's, you know, but the things that sometimes set him off and then sometimes don't, as just it serves the story. If you have stuff like that going on in your pen and paper role-playing game, in a long-running campaign with consistent characters, players notice that, and then they will start to ask, you know, why it worked one way,
right,
and now works some other way. So just in general, that is something you want to avoid. Because that leads players to feel, you know, negatively about the situation.
Well, yeah,
like,
especially,
why can't I do this? Or, like, well, it worked over here. Why are you saying I can't do it now?
Because it is it's a game with incomplete information. And I don't want to get too far into that because that one's coming up.
Yeah, that's a different.
But you are making decisions for your character based on the information that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So when that information changes session to session, or even sometimes in the same session, it gets frustrating because it's like, well, if I had known that it doesn't work that way anymore, I wouldn't have done those things.
I wouldn't have tried that. Like, oh, you made a wheelie into a charisma check. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm bad at charisma. I thought it was, like, you know, on my driving skill or whatever.
Like, it would be, like, akin to playing a game of chess, and all of a sudden, like, the bishop no longer moves diagonally.
Mm.
Or maybe they move diagonally, but they can only move one space.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, three turns ago, your bishop moved across the whole map diagonally. Why can my bishop only move one now?
Yeah. You don't want to... Like, players don't want to deal with something like that. Players don't like that. And then you, as a game master, you don't want to forget, mess up, and then put yourself in a situation where now you have to reconcile two different versions of
because also how to, like, do something. Players might be on the same team, but they're also playing against each other.
Yeah, in a weird way, they're
So, like, making these special mechanics for, like, one player and not another player, you know, looks like favoritism. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, the one player's like, well, I'm just playing the base rules, and I'm getting, like, fucked. I can't do anything cool. Right. Everybody else is doing all this cool stuff.
Yeah. Nobody likes that.
Which, you know, brings us to the next point.
Well, before we get to that, I want to... So, we talked about how, you know, you take a goofy thing that a player wants to do, burn past the goof to the intents of the action, and then you can get away from having to make something up, you get back to, like, the basic mechanics of whatever game you're doing. Like, oh, that's a charisma check. Easy peasy. Give me a charisma roll. You save yourself. But another example that I know we've talked about, and this is a different one, and this does require more than just, like, you know, what is the intent, is when we were playing Dungeons & Dragons and we had downtime in Baldur's Gate, and your character tried to, like, play the markets a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
want to go stocking.
And when Enzo was faced with the challenge of creating some sort of, you know, stock market feedback mechanic where Dane's character put in some money and then did or did not get money back based on, I don't know, that kind of threw Enzo for a loop because he was being asked to simulate something complex that he wasn't ready for. And then, and we've talked about that before, and what we settled on is you don't need to actually simulate the economy of, you know, Faerun. You just need to, like, do a couple random rolls behind the scenes and be like, you're up a little bit or you're down a little bit. But the point is, that's not as simple as, like, what are you actually trying to do? Impress a barmaid? Okay, charisma. It's more complex than that. It requires a more complex solution, even if the solution is just, you know, behind the screen, roll two dice for you're up or you're down this much or this much. That is still something that needs to be created if you're going to allow your players to do something like that. And they say they want to do something like that, and you're like, yeah, okay. You're going to have to come up with something for that. So now we need to go back into a little bit.
Well, I think that also plays up with the good faith thing, because I don't think you necessarily need, in that scenario of like the stock market in Faerun, you don't actually need to come up with anything. What you could have done, and it might not have, I might not have been satisfied, but like, you know, that this is way in the past, so I don't know. But you could just say, okay, what's your intention? Okay, my character's intention was to do something with the money we were making because, like, I don't know, we have money. Like, what the fuck am I going to do with it? So, like, I created this thing of, like, you know, I want to buy a farm. How am I going to do that? Well, you know, put your money to work for you, right? Yeah. So
buy some stocks.
It might not have been satisfying to me then, but now I'm thinking that, like, if Enzo didn't want to deal with that, or the game master didn't want to deal with that, they could have just said, okay, so you want to put your money to work for you in the stock market, so you do that, and I'll just tell you how it works out for you. Like, we're not going to do, like, any rolls. It's not going to be a complex thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like, you know, create a stock market.
Yeah. You just tell me, how much money are you going to give me that you don't own anymore?
And I'll tell you if you lost it or if you didn't.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know,
some players might not like that. They might, because then they're thinking as themselves. They're not thinking as their character. Because as their character in the game world, they're going and buying stocks in something or other, or, you know, they're putting together a stock portfolio. But in real life, what it is you, the player, sitting at the table and agreeing to cross out some of your money with the faith in your game master that they are going to do something satisfying with
it. And they're not going to try to fuck you, right? Like, you know, the good faith of just like, we're all trying to have fun here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to like, ha ha ha, he didn't like nail me down to like the return on investment. So like, I'm going to say he lost it all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just believe that that's not what, you know, the game master is thinking.
Or that if the game master is going to come back in a couple sessions and say, hey, you lost all that money, that it's going to be for the purpose of
drama or, you know, the purpose of the story. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you know, my character would probably be pretty upset, but use that, you know?
Right. You player don't get upset, but play your character upset.
Sure.
That their money, and not at the game master, but at, like, the stocks that they bought.
You know, and then, like, you know, maybe that character really gets on the other teammates of like, well, we got to go make money, man. I just lost it all. So, like, stop fucking around.
So now I'm really financially motivated to take this. Yeah. To take this, this quest off the message board that, and they're like, well, we don't need to do that. Why would we go do that? Man, because I need to make my money back.
Mm-hmm.
Play as your character. And this is another thing that is going to come up in a later conversation that we've already written.
Yeah.
Episode. The idea of separating a little bit.
The good faith cuts both ways, right? You know, for the player too, or for the game master too, like, don't get upset. Because it's easy when you make these, like, little mechanics to forget about them, and then, like, you, like, have this whole session planned around this one, like, you know, drama event or whatever, and then like maybe a boss, mm-hmm. an elemental boss, and you forgot that like your players have like the opposite elements. You know, they have like a water spear, and your fire elemental just gets bodied by your players because they're like, yeah, we have a water spear, dead. Yeah.
Oops.
No more boss fight, right? And, you know, so that's annoying, sure. But, like, your players aren't trying to screw you and they're not like, haha, what an idiot game master.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, celebrate that win and be like, oh, you have the water spear. Whoa! Man, you guys are legends. Because right. there'd be another boss fight. Yeah. There'd be another chance.
You can always, that can be, you know, it can be a little bit like of a curveball for you, but we talked about hitting curveballs.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that was meant to be the session today.
Mm.
But yeah, you had that thing, and the rules of that thing are that basically you won.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, and then also, you know, that as a warning to players, don't be like searching for that and like, you know, making your game master come up with all these little complex mechanics that like in this scenario, this is going to be really good. And like, I'm totally going to get one over on the game master because he gave me, you know, a special weapon or an item mm-hmm. that like protects me. Maybe like it protects me against all magic. Right. And maybe that's not essentially what it is, but, like, you really fought for this, like, well, I have this cloak, right? And, like, it was made by a wizard, and, like, you know, you should give me some stats for it. So, like, you know, just be cool, I guess, is the end of that rant.
Yeah.
Because it is fun to come up with those things, but it can also be taxing, right? Like, you know, coming up with something that you weren't prepared for and being like, oh, fuck, I got to make, like, the whole Faerun economy simulation.
Yeah.
Oh!
But that, I think, is... I mean... Well, so, that's a good... that's a good segue, I think, into...
I got a good line, though.
Okay.
Wait, oh, fuck, I lost it. All right, continue.
Okay. Good segue into the last sort of section of this, which is, you know, consider when it's appropriate to just, like, narrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a little flavor and tell them what happened without making a mechanic. And we've talked about this idea, this sort of philosophy in previous episodes. I think recently when we talked about, like, how much a game master should be rolling and how we've both felt our best game mastering has happened, and the idea of you know, players rolling for everything, game master not rolling very much, just narrating. The economy of Faerun thing, that's a great example of when to do this instead of trying to create mechanics. Really? Yeah. 'Cause like, do you want to? Is that a fun world building thing? Like, not everyone is Patrick Rothfuss, mm-hmm. who loves inventing, you know, the coinage of different fantasy economies. And
maybe it is. Maybe it is that, like, that's your jam.
Yeah. Right? We're not, I mean, saying... if you like it, and suddenly, yeah. and that's like a bone that your players threw you, mm-hmm. they didn't know it, but like...
You were ready for it?
That you were fucking ready. As soon as they asked about it, you were like, oh, I've got stuff for this. Don't worry. And then you bust out a little, you know, a little play sheet, little worksheet for them to, do investments in this game system, fine. But that's unlikely to be the case.
Yeah.
Right? That they're going to ask for some kind of obscure way to mm-hmm. engage with your campaign, and you've got that locked and loaded. Think about whether it requires mechanics at all. And, yeah. you know, is it better to be like, okay, you know, the thing that we talked about. All right, how much money are you willing to put into this? All right, scratch that off your character sheet. I'll make a little note of it here. And you don't have that money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You own however much types of stock in whatever ventures you chose to get into. And that's your character, not you, the player. And I will narrate
mm-hmm.
as appropriate, whether you gain or lose money on it.
And, like, it doesn't even have to be... Well, in that instance, like, if the player wants to check back in and be like, so, like, you know, from last session to this session, how much money did I get? Keep it, you know, keep it going narratively if that's what you chose to do. And be like, yeah, well, it's been literally a week, so
it hasn't changed. Don't know yet. Yeah.
Like, it's, you can't go, like, pull it out.
That money's gone, and the ships, they haven't even left port yet.
Right.
You know? It circles back. Even if you're going to do this, instead of, like, design systems, ask for roles, and, you know, create mechanics that measure this sort of minutia when your players ask for it. Even if you're not going to do any of that, and you're just going to narrate it for the most, you know, dramatic or satisfying or easy version of it possible for you as the game master, you still have to go back to that consistency.
Yeah.
Rule. You still have to play by that consistency rule, which mostly applies to you, not the player. Game master, yeah. You know, follow the rules of the universe that you've created. Don't wildly deviate.
And I mean, we've talked about when that absolute, like, when that's comes to a problem where, like, yeah, I know I said that this is how it was working. There's ways around that. And, you know, the best one is just, like, you know, let's have a pause in the game and have some table talk.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that, like, you know, I set down sessions ago no longer is good for the story.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change it.
So it's going to look a little different now. And y'all got to just be a little okay with that.
And
but,
you know, that's just fine as long as, you know, it's always been on the board since day one. You know, communication.
Yep.
Solves a lot of feeling or hurt feelings, right?
It also, it comes back to this good faith bullet point, this good faith section that we talked a lot about. If you are not acting in bad faith, if you're not narrating deliberately to piss off your players, and I don't know why you would do that. I've never understood the, you know, stories that we used to hear about, like, antagonistic player game master relationships.
Yeah.
That just, like, what's fun about that? I don't know. As long as that's not the way you're running the game, and as long as the players also buy into that sort of agreement, that good faith promise that everyone is trying to have a good time together, then, you know, then you just have to be consistent. Or if you break consistency, just
be open,
say that that's what you're doing and explain why. You're like, you know what? I hadn't thought about it very much when I said it back then. I'm doing it differently now. And from now on, you know, this is how we'll play it. Communication.
All right. Got a little off topic with the communication there. It's a good point to hit, though.
Yeah.
So is it a, like, cosmetic and narrative flavor, or should it be a mechanic decision, right? That decision, which usually happens, like, in game time, you know, the game master needs to put down a decision so the session can move on.
Yeah.
Right. So just, we have a couple things to, you know, keep in mind to help make that decision easier, right? So the rule of drama.
Yeah.
How dramatic, or what is the potential for drama around this possible mechanic, right? Because role-playing stories, you know, there needs to be some drama. So if there's going to be a, or if it is a high opportunity of drama around this mechanic, like, you know, some simple ones that are always, well, not always, but usually there are, like, health and damage.
Right.
Right? Those are mechanics for a reason, because those are extremely dramatic events. Like, if your character's near dying, there should be some clear rules about that.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Or if, it's another example. If your session, like the session or the campaign that Dane is running involves us traveling to a lot of different points on the map. There's pretty much always travel from one, usually from our home base, sometimes from somewhere else, to, like, a mission area and then back. it's always critical because we're not in the same place, and you know, getting there, we face some dangers, and it affects how we handle the mission when we get to the mission. What happened during travel, mm-hmm. right? There's dramatic stuff that can occur based on success and failure every time we go somewhere mm-hmm. in this game world, right? So because of the potentiality for drama, there's mechanics attached to it, and because of how often it happens, because it happens every time we do mm-hmm. anything, we go somewhere.
Well, I would like to say a little more on that. Okay. So just because there are mechanics, because it is a high potential for drama, like, you know, there's a very critical mission and their vehicles get destroyed or, you know, damaged or whatever, that creates a lot of drama. But it also doesn't have to happen every time,
mm-hmm.
right? It's still consistent. Because, like, the rules have been laid down. Sometimes it's just like, yeah, nothing happens. I'm not going to make you roll for it. You have an easy journey, right? That's still consistent. I'm just eliminating several meaningless rolls, right? But the option is there
mm-hmm.
to engage with those mechanics.
Right, yeah. It's not a mandatory thing mm-hmm. that you do so, but if you choose to do so, then the mechanics are always the same,
yeah, right?
And the mechanics are, yeah, mm-hmm. they're built into it. We have stuff for our vehicles. Sometimes they get damaged. Sometimes we fix them up and they're a little better in certain situations or whatever. We have some light, like, cargo capacity stuff that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always all relevant, but when it is, the mechanics are set. And we know how to operate them. We know what roles to give. We know what to ask. Like, how much cargo space does this take up?
Okay. Yeah.
We know how much cargo space we have.
Yeah. So another example from that same campaign of something that I made a mechanic that I probably shouldn't have because it was stupid, was one of our characters wanted to build a greenhouse at the home base.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I made... And, like, I don't think I, like, you know, really overcooked it because it was just, like, you know, you can build it. It just depends on how long it takes, right? So, like, every successful roll I gave, you know, some, like, you know.
Some progress.
Some random difficulty. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, six roll of 13 gets it, right? You need 5 successful rolls. Like, you could bust them all out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just going to dictate how much time it takes. Like. Even that was probably too much. I just should have been like, okay, you start building a greenhouse. Check back with me to see how much progress you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Done.
So I think, because the other thing, so we have, like, you know, the rule of drama.
Yeah.
Does it have dramatic effect on the adventure?
Mm-hmm.
And then also the frequency.
Yeah.
The frequency, and frequency means a couple of different things. How frequently is it going to come up? How frequently are the players, you know, going to mm-hmm. choose to engage with it? I guess it doesn't mean a bunch of different things. It just means frequency, you know, frequency in any sense of frequency.
Yeah.
So imagine an XY graph, right? So dramatic and not dramatic, that's the y-axis, and then how frequently it happens, infrequent or frequent, that's the x-axis. So in the quadrant where it is both dramatic and frequent, that's when you probably should have supportive mechanics.
Good time for a mechanic.
Yeah. And these other three quadrants, where it is dramatic but infrequent, where it is, you know, frequent but not really dramatic, mm-hmm. Something... that I feel like has been, you know, frequently coming up in the same campaign, the one we've been talking about, is, like, all this talk about, like, smoking weed and getting high. Because
mm-hmm.
we're in the Appalachians, you know, weed farming, big, fun, you know, apocalyptic future. Yeah, mm-hmm. everyone's into weed. It doesn't really affect much of what goes on. It's more just like goofy, you know, like who's high, who smokes the leaf, yeah. you know, out here. It's frequent, but there's not any sort of, you know, buffs or debuffs attached to that. And it's not really one of the, it's not one of the major like base resources that we mm-hmm. are consistently worried about. So even though it's frequent that people are smoking and getting high, doesn't really affect anything. So it's in one of these other three quadrants where it's just kind of a narrative flavor thing.
It could be a narrative, yeah. The only reason it would create drama is just if, like, if there was, well, nothing else, I guess, is how I would say, and that's, you know, sounds pretty bad. But, like, you know, people who smoke the weed frequently, like, yeah, sure, they're just, like, kind of stoned all the time. They can really, you know, they can act like, you know, they're not stoned because just their character gets stoned all the time. They can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, then they fail a roll and it's like, oh, well, like, you know, your stony baloney yeah. mind just missed right. that.
That's a fun way to, you know, just prompt some role play. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you're high, you forgot. Right.
And that goes back to the good faith thing. It's not that like, oh, you guys are high, so like the difficulty of the rolls have increased. It's right. like, no.
I'm not telling you failed because yeah. you were high.
No, I'm just saying
you can use the fact that you were high to
fail.
Yeah, to zhuzh up this roll that you happened to fail.
Right, because instead of just saying, oh, you failed, I'd be like, oh, I don't know, you were paying attention to the bark, dude.
Yeah, you were into something else, a little distracted. That's fine. Because, you know, you could have failed for any number of reasons. Good to give the players a reason why.
Yeah.
And what it looks like when they ask for something. Well, that's something you should be able to do, but the potentiality for failure exists. And then if the role is a failure, it's nice to have some sort of explanation for that.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, use the potential for drama and the frequency to make your decision about like, oh, is this going to be something that I need to set down some rules for so we can maintain consistency? Or is it something that like it might come up a lot, but like, it's not really that important. So like, you know, it's going to be flavor.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe it's extremely dramatic one time.
You
don't make a mechanic yeah. for it because
you
like,
still ask for some sort right. of role or whatever. Yeah. But
I'm not going to, you know, ooh, I'm going to create a sliding scale of difficulty. No, yeah. I'll just be like, give me a roll.
And we'll see.
We need to, you know, dot our I's and cross our W's or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think
in that one, so if it's dramatic but infrequent, that's when you do the, you know, burn past what they say they're trying to do.
Look for the intent.
And, yeah, find the intent for it. Like, if this works, how do you expect, what result like what, are yeah. you expecting?
What are you looking to achieve with a successful whatever? Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb.
And then, you know, you're still going to use some sort of mechanic, but you're going to burn through the goof or the, you know, the weird
it's
thing.
It's not
going to
be super
for.
Specific. It's going to be a right. general, oh, well, like, in the rule book it says.
Well, that's a perception.
Yeah.
Give me a perception roll.
That's
and
a
then,
good one.
Yeah.
So the reason why you would make something a flavor, even if it's so like, I think what we decided is a good rule of play is if it's very dramatic and very frequent, making a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are kind of probably not.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's easier to maintain consistency with those, and it's probably not, so I'm just like, you know, it's a little bit of narrative yeah. right now.
It's easier to be consistent in your narration when you don't have to, when the dice can't boss you around about it.
Yeah,
you know,
so like, you know, a great example is for the campaign you're running here is my character is like half snake. They got a snake tail.
Mm-hmm.
So like they don't walk, they slither.
Yeah,
but like that's not really like, there's no real dramatic, oh, I need to come up with like different mechanics for you as a snake yeah. versus you as a person with legs.
It doesn't change how fast They can move. They can still, you know, they can still go upstairs. They can still climb stuff.
And so, like, you know, when you as the game master say, okay, so you walk into the room.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, I'm like, I slither into the room. Mm-hmm. It's not game breaking. It's not jarring. It's not like, sorry, game master, say it right. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, I know that everybody else walks.
Yeah.
I slither.
Right.
Right. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's no, there's no danger of making something inconsistent out of that when it's purely narrative.
Mm-hmm. Right, or like another one that I've gotten corrected by the players is like weight. Like a couple sessions ago, they were driving a side-by-side Polaris. And like, oh, they did a driving roll. It wasn't quite good enough to like ram their target, but it was good enough not to tip and roll over. So I was like, yeah, they're up on two wheels. And then they're like, well, like, you know, we're super heavy, so that wouldn't happen. It's like, shut up. It's cool.
Yeah. Shut up. The cool thing happened.
We've never discussed like, you know, how much weight the Polaris can, because like apparently you're super heavy.
And like, that's not information that I as a game master would ever keep in my mind, the like total weight of my party, because I'm not a nerd. Just kidding.
Right.
But that is information I would never keep in my brain.
Yeah. Right. But then it's just like, I don't know, it's cool. It happened the way it happens.
Yeah. You know, cool, less work.
Yeah.
More fun.
Right. It's all about making it more fun and less work, right? Because it can be work to
It is work to be a game master. It's less work to be a player. Hopefully the work to fun ratio for a player is really high on the fun side. That's what
I think it is.
But for a game master, it is definitely work.
Yeah.
And definitely. You kind of want to you want to minimize that in favor of fun as often as you can without compromising the simulation. So, you know, when you can, when it's not in that like critical, dramatic, and frequent quadrant, don't give yourself the extra work. Let yourself just have fun with just narrate it.
And I mean, if it's fun to create that work for you, you know, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. We're not saying don't do that at all costs, but just if that's not your jam, I don't think you need to do it.
We are saying though that even if your initial inclination is like, oh yeah, fun, let me whip up a thing for that,
it can become not
it's
fun.
It's going to become not pretty fun quickly. If you, when you find yourself, you know, doing so inconsistently, or, you know, when players start asking for more, and at some point you have to be like, narrative. You know, it happens this way. What were you trying to do?
Yeah. Love it.
So that's I think that's our.
That's what we gotta say.
That's our sermon on introducing new complex mechanics to your adventures. We talked about the snowball effect of how it can kind of get away from you if you're doing it a lot. We talked about consistency. If you do it once, you got to be prepared to do it that way every time. So think about that a little bit before you do it one way or the other. We talked about having good faith in both directions. Players, you know, have good faith that your game master is not trying to antagonize or fuck with you, that they're trying to deliver the most enjoyable experience for everybody. And then, you know, game masters have good faith in your players. They're probably not trying to stump you or fuck you over with, you know, a weird thing that they're asking for. They probably just want a fun result one way or the other. And then, we talked about the rules of drama and frequency in considering whether to implement some sort of new complex mechanic or whether you should just
make it narrative.
Yeah, make it a narrative flavorful thing. And I believe we're erring on the side of mostly just narrate it, unless it's both dramatic and consistently, frequently occurring. So, think that about do it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you liked what you heard, head on over to 2hgm.com.
Yep, first thing you're going to see if you go there is our original setting and rule set for Afterlife post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
Available now on drivethruhrpg.com.
Yep.
Digital or print copy. Print copy is pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you buy the print copy, you also get a digital copy. You get
the digital for free. So, you know, it's good deal. It's a BOGO, basically. Just buy the book. We also have links to our Patreon, some other stuff on our websites, but the Patreon is cool. You get to join our Discord. We do some live stuff occasionally.
Yeah.
And yeah, we play role playing game.
Yep. Real quick, for our Denver listeners, bring pro women's soccer to Denver. For Denver FC is our name. And we want some pro women's soccer in Denver. Did you know that Denver doesn't have a pro women's team at all in any sport? That's fucked up. Equality, yo.
In any sport? I thought you were going to say soccer, and I was going to say, yeah, I know that because I hang out with you.
Nope.
None sports.
No pro women's sports
in Denver at all. And we're a huge sports town.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, wild. Okay.
So check us out.
Yeah, check that out.
For Denver FC.
Link in the episode description.
Hell yeah.
Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pondilla's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. We'll see y'all next time. Woo!